times they use it against us. They say, how come everybody hates it? And there have been many books written on anti-Semitism trying to explain it. And most come to the conclusion that it's a phenomenon that's inexplicable. I believe that there's a reason why it's inexplicable, but I don't believe it's totally inexplicable. I'll give you my own personal theory on it. And I think it's something that emerges from careful analysis of the Megillah. All right? And in the Megillah you find that there were that upon Haman's wife's advice, Zeresh. So they planned to make an Eitz Gevurah Chamisha Mama, right? And she said, in the morning, at Babok, in the morning, tell the Melech. It's in Hey Yedala. The Talmud says she still follow the Yasvei to Rachmish Manu. The Boker Hamal the Melech. Yiflos Mordechai lo lo na Melech ala Mishta Sameach. Vita Radala lefnei Hamal the Yasvei. Okay, so it was really it was advice, right? But then you see that when he came home after he wasn't successful. So, which was the next parak? It was the next parak. It was in Vav. Vayisap Haman Zer Shishto Eishu Kol Asher Karo. Then it says Vayomer Lo Chacham Vezer Shishto Imi Zera Yehuda Mordechai Asher Halos Limpa Lachonu Lo Sukhalo. Enough for all people of Hanu. Suddenly, because Mordechai is Mizera Yehuda. Imi Zera Yehuda. What do you mean Imi Zera Yehuda? That was the whole thing. The whole thing was to destroy the Jews. It was Imi Zera Yehuda. Okay. So. It's an absurdity. Because first she wants to destroy with Mordechai and Zera Yehudim, and now she says, if he's from Zera Yehudim, then you're definitely going to fall. Osuchala. See, so what does this contradiction show? The contradiction shows that you're dealing with emotions that are really of a different kind of a nature. They're not of a conscious nature. They're not of a conscious nature. And you're dealing with conscious emotions, so then you deal with them. They have a certain kind of expression. They lend themselves to contradiction. They lend themselves to certain principles, to certain rules. Okay? When you're dealing with unconscious emotions, then it doesn't lend itself to explanation. To rational explanation. And that's why I disagree with, people say that Einstein said that the source of anti-Semitism is jealousy. So, I don't think so. I think he's right. When you hit the right emotion, but I don't think it's conscious jealousy. Because conscious jealousy is still in the realm of the normal. Everybody's jealous. It's a normal phenomenon. But this is the way that anti-Semitism works is not normal. It's not in the realm of the normal. What is the answer to this? How do you explain these two psukim? I think in these two psukim you find the secret of the idea of anti-Semitism. So anti-Semitism has certain characteristic. And one of the strange characteristics that it has. What is being expressed? What ideas are really being expressed in this pasuk? That where she says, "Zeresh Chacham Zeresh Shishto in the Zera Yehuda Ma'aser Achilos Limpa Lachonav Losuchalo Enochol Tipa Lachonav." What is expressing? What does it mean? What kind of idea is this? What does the idea say? What does it show you? It shows you one thing. It shows you a tremendous. It shows you a tremendous fear, a dread, and a fear of a Jew. That's what it shows. Is that what it says? In Yisera Yehudi Mashiach Lo Suchalo. You're never going to be able to be successful against them. Enough of people are not. It shows you that behind anti-Semitism is an unbelievable fear of a Jew. It's an amazing thing. What do they say? All the anti-Semites. What do they say? Universal conspiracy. The Jew is involved in universal conspiracy. He controls the world. He controls the money, the banks. On the one hand, they say that the Jew is inferior. On the other hand, he controls the whole world. Sounds crazy. Correct? Especially in Mach Shimon, the Nazis. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to control the world. They say the Jew is inferior, but he controls the world. Contradiction. Contradiction only makes sense if the reasoning is conscious, like I said before. An unconscious reason, contradiction doesn't exist. That's That's one thing that the second will show. Now, really, what happens over here, and you see another thing, another characteristic of anti-Semitism, and this face you brought to my attention. It's correct. It says like this, and another one the man mentioned also. Okay. So there's two now. Then what happens? He can't sleep, and all of a sudden, what's wrong? Where's the Boker? A Boker or a Melech? And what did it say? It says, Yasu Eitz Gavoa. It says, Vayasaitz. Vayasaitz. He didn't wait till the next day, and he didn't wait for anybody else to make this Eitz. He made it himself, and he came that night. And how did he come that night? He came that night. So he came that night. And when did he come that night? He came at a time when Ahasuerus would be ordinarily sleeping. Because the Baal would know that's not so long, otherwise he would have been asleep. So he was hoping against hope that for some reason Ahasuerus would be up. What does it show you? It shows you an obsessional, compulsive nature that underlies anti-Semitism. It's an obsession. It is not in the realm of the moment. Okay. Now the question is, what is the source of this obsession? And this obsession, that's why they can't figure out anti-Semitism. Because they always try to figure out the conscious tongue, and it doesn't make any sense. The reason why it evades analysis is because it has a different, it stems from a different part of the mind. It's an unconscious phenomenon. Unless you understand the unconscious, you won't understand that. What is the pattern that something doesn't work? Very simple. The way it works is that man is plagued with one illness. Ramam mentions. It's called the Machla Nishis. The illness that he's plagued with is egomania. That's what it's plagued with. The egomania is something which is common to individuals. It's found among individuals, and it's also found, it also exists in societies. Now, is any society that wishes to prove, that is guided by the trying to prove, the force of the idea of trying to prove that they're superior, will have to become anti-Semites. Because the fact is that just looking at the facts, there is only one people that really are superior, and that is the Jew. Okay? Now, I mean to say that what I'm saying is that this fact is known to the masses of people, whether they accept the Torah or they don't accept the Torah, has nothing to do with it. It's just simply known. People know the fact, are aware of it. There is no nation that exists today that goes back 3,000 years and that had a recorded history. The first ones, even if they've got the Kosovo Margin, the first ones to have a recorded history, have a nation that is that is responsible for most of the world's religion. Most countries, if you go back a few centuries, even less in many instances, they were 95% aware of it. Okay? You go back to Israel, thousands of years, there's no such thing as aware of it. You know what the Israelis said when they called him a Jew derogatorily. He said, "That's right, I'm a Jew." And when my forefathers were working in Solomon's temple, yours were barbarians on this island. Okay, the world knows this. The world knows the fact. In Benjamin's book, everyone is aware of the unbelievable distortion in terms of proportion of the contribution of the Jew as opposed to the world pool of knowledge as opposed to any other nation. It's an amazing thing. Read the essay of Mark Twain. These things are known by people. But what I say is this. What I say is that people who wish, nations of the world who wish to, or egomaniacal in nature, and wish to assert themselves, place it in, maintain that they're superior, they know they haven't got a chance to stay. In terms of historical fact, against the Jew. That's why everything they say is exactly the opposite. Because they repress the fact that the Jew is superior. It's a repression. Once they repress that fact, and it becomes unconscious, the lashing out stems from an unconscious source. And the lashing out is an attempt, really, an unconscious attempt on the part of the unconscious to deny, to continue in a state of denial of the facts that show the superiority of the Jew. That's the source of anti-Semitism. So you take the anti-Semites, you just, everything they say, you say the opposite, this is true. Like Hitler Yamach Shemo used to say, there was never an evil event in history that didn't involve a Jew. You just have to reverse it. There was never a great event in history that didn't involve a Jew. That's true. Everything he's saying is a complete depression. You see? Or he's saying that the Germans stem from a superior race. Their race are really inferior. They were barbaric hordes. Jews are the only ones that have the superiority in terms of the heritage of race. Everything the anti-Semites say is exactly the opposite. And the reason why it doesn't lend itself to analysis is because it's an unconscious phenomenon. That's what I mean. The Megillah shows you that over. That's why there is an unbelievable fear of the Jew. Where does that fear come from? Universal conspiracy. It's fear. That's in the Zera Yehudim Hashem Losulim Kol Lofan Losuchalok. You're not going to be Lofan. You're going to have to fail. What kind of a mystical idea is this? It's a mystical idea because it really expresses an unconscious fear of the superiority of the Jew. Now we know in psychoanalysis that there is a prototype that every individual has in his life. And that is known as the Oedipal complex. The Oedipal complex, the father, represents a certain image. And there's conflict with regard to the father. There is a desire to overpower the father. What is conflict, by the way? There's an unconscious desire to overpower the father. And there also is a tremendous fear of the father. Now, in anti-Semitism, that's the way it works. Exact same thing. That the fear to the Jew because of his superiority. I'm being a little psychoanalytical. I'm taking a little bit of being psychoanalytical. But the Jew because of his superiority becomes a father kind of figure. And the only way that the individual feels secure, in other words, he can destroy the father, is only when the father's not looking behind his back. If the father's looking face to face, he can't destroy him. He feels he's going to lose. He feels helpless. So that's why the destruction of the Jew always will take place when he's down. That's when these plans take place to destroy the Jew. When he's down, behind his back, like Nazi Germany, secretively fooling them. Those are the methods that are used. In one word, in order to attack the Jew, they must find extreme vulnerability. That's the only way they feel liberated. But the moment they see that the Jew is rising, then they destroy. Because then the fear of the image of the Jew emerges. That's what Zera said. In me Zera Yehudim, in me Zera Yehudim. Of course, you know he's Jewish, that's the whole thing. In me Zera Yehudim, Ashach Elosa Wimpolofonach. That means when they see that the Jew is rising and gaining power, then they're completely devastated. That's what did she say? Rachav Hazana? It says because they didn't have any ruach to stand up against the Jew. So the Jew was successful and entered Jericho. So that was the end. They were totally destroyed. It means that. That shows unbelievable dread and fear. Awed, completely awed. That's why, that was a Moloch. That's what Chazal said. What was a Moloch? A Moloch wanted to break that image. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says that a Moloch is like a person who is a hot pot of water, and everybody's afraid to put their hand in it. The first one that puts his hand in, he gets burnt, but after that, people aren't afraid anymore. It's just, yeah. So, a Moloch, that's what a Moloch tried. That's really what a Moloch. A Moloch is against that image and that realization. And I maintain that everyone...
Correct.
When you're helpless, That's correct. And when the Jew is helpless, when he's vulnerable. When he's vulnerable. That's when they attack. But the reason, I'm thinking, there's no question in my mind that you see the obsessional character of anti-Semitism, the obsessional character, and the irrationality of it, to say that we are an inferior people, and yet we control the entire world. This is crazy. We can control the entire world with spirit. It can only be explained in unconscious levels. There's an unconscious fear of the Jew, and a recognition, a true recognition, that he is really, in fact, the superior person, the superior people. But the denial, I'll give you an example, so you don't have to go too far. How can you have a nation of pagans, basically behemoths, that take someone that's a distorted Jew, and they make him and his followers, and make him into a god, and then make his followers into a religion divinely inspired. Okay? What would be the natural result? The natural result is that such people should say the Jewish nation is unbelievable. Even a distorted person who is a Jew is by then considered a god. I mean, what do they say? Again, the opposite. We killed their god. What is the opposite of we killed their god? We gave them a god. That's their historical fact. Historical fact is we gave them a god. Okay? The vote is hard. But I'm just saying that the truth is always, it's always the exact opposite. You know that Goyim, even to this day, don't know that Yeshu was Jewish. People that went to college, somebody just told me recently, his son-in-law is a college grad, and he didn't know that Yeshu's a Jew. It sounds crazy. So what are you kidding? It is so crazy. The church has hidden the fact. J. David Davis, who was a preacher, a Baptist minister, he went through years of years of divinity school. And I asked him. I said, one day he realized he was a Jew. Maybe one day. He knows before. He says the way they taught it. He says, like, it's never like mentioned openly, as if he came from somewhere else. It's a total denial, complete denial, and distortion of reality. They say, you take a look at for instance, at the religious groups, the Ku Klux Klan, and these other Nazi groups. These groups are religious. They believe in the New Testament, the religious people. And then they say that we are an inferior people. When our ancestors were writing the things that these people believe in, these people were total barbarians. It's absurd. The idea is so absurd that you see one thing. You see it's a complete distortion and repression of reality. That's basically what the negotiation is. That's basically what the negotiation is about anti-Semitism. And that really is the understanding of anti-Semitism. And that's why no one can explain it, because they don't realize that it's an unconscious phenomenon. They try to explain in conscious terms. Conscious terms can't explain it. Impossible to explain it. When I say superiority, I mean superiority. You see, I'll tell you something. Personally, I don't agree completely with what the with the superiority of the Jew that the anti-Semites really believe down deep. You see, because they believe that the Jew is superior. When I say they think it's superior, I mean, in any framework that they use, their framework, whether it's financially successful, whether that's through culturally, whether that's through intellectually, any area that they take, they find the Jewish spirit. Truth of the matter is that we don't really believe that. We believe that we have superiority, but only because of one reason, only because of Machiavelli. See, they believe that there's a superior. And I'll tell you something else. In my opinion, it's two expressions of anti-Semitism. One is a cultural, because they hate the Jew, because in their framework, the Jew is superior. But there's also another. Anti-Semitism goes a little further. It also goes against God. You find the same obsession, the same obsessional character that you find in the anti-Semites, you find in the Bible critics as well. The Bible critics have an obsessional character, though, like an attempt to degrade and to destroy Torah. As a matter of fact, the greatest of all Bible critics, Wellhausen, was an anti-Semite, a known anti-Semite. And his whole purpose wasn't simply intellectual. I mean, his purpose was to degrade Torah. That's why Solomon Schechter said about him, he said, they used to call it the higher criticism. He said, I call it the higher anti-Semitism. And he was correct. He was correct about it. It's a denial, a refusal to see in Torah any kind of chachma. They don't simply say Torah's not Menachem Mayim. They say there's no chachma in Torah. Say there's no chachma in Torah, you have to be crazy. You're crazy? Say, I don't know what came from Mars, but you say that there's no chachma in Torah, it's impossible. It's just an impossibility. But it is an unconscious force. But that unconscious force is not only against the Jew, it's against God. Because ultimately, the idea of God is the most disturbing idea for man. Cannot accept it. Can't tolerate it. It means that there is a being who created the universe and who knows exactly what's going on in the minds of every individual, and it's an intolerable idea for a certain kind of personality. You see? That's the puzzle. The puzzle says in Tillim Beis, that Lama Rosh Hagoyim, Allah Dov Shem V'al Mishnah, Shechom is Kol Yisrael, and I'll let him. Ultimately, it's against God. That's ultimately what it is. And that's why the anti-Semitism is so really bad, because it's not just superiority, but it's a certain kind of superiority. The Jew is tied with God. And every anti-Semite knows it. So while I maintain that there is a superiority that they notice in general, like a superiority that Mark Twain talks about, but there's even those people. There's a deeper superiority that they really recognize, that is really buried. And that is the superiority of the Jew insofar as he has a unique relationship with God. That is what what destroys it.
You call Jews who deny God and that's
no. No, no, no. I wouldn't call it. No. It's an interesting thing. There's a Gemara Pesach that seems to support something along those lines. Because the Gemara says that what is an Amara Tate? An Amara Tate's one thing. He walks into the house of Talmud Chacham and sees him sitting there. That drives me crazy. And the Gemara says, it's either Boel or Rososo B'chana. But Chazal say that the hatred of the Amorites for Talmud Chacham is even greater than the hatred of going to Father's Father. So you see that Chazal recognized that there is some common link. I don't have it defined precisely. I wouldn't say it's perhaps of a different source. You see, because the Jew knows that really he's shy of the God at the Torah. There's a different kind of a thing. But the emotion is a very powerful emotion. Very powerful emotion. And there is a different kind of emotion. I mean, I wouldn't call it anti-Semitism per se. But it is definitely one which is, the Gemara says, is worse than the sin of Homosexuality. Okay. That's a good riot. By Golgus is a good riot. Because Golgus really was the anti-Semite. And when the Jew was, when he felt that they're vulnerable, so he was parading around with his arrogance. But then when David HaMelech went to fight him, so he thought David HaMelech was nothing, peanuts, and knock him off. Little kid. But he didn't do that. He went crazy. He lost his composure, lost his mental sanity. He started to say crazy things. Because that's correct. That's always, whenever the guy is confronted by the Jew, he loses composure. There's a tremendous, what is the fear of Goliath for the little David is really what got him crazy. It wasn't David. It was a reflection of the unconscious fear. And the fear had to do, what did the fear have to do with? I would even go further with that. What did the fear have to do with? I said that I would trace anti-Semitism ultimately ultimately to a denial of God. Ultimately. But you take a look, what did Galanoff say to Galanoff? What did he say to him? I always wonder what it meant. This is a strange thing to me. He says, okay? So I thought to myself, what is he telling me? This is time he's going to make him a tzaddik. And this is his time to make him a tzaddik. But what he said was, he knew what really bothered him. What really bothered him was the relationship. It was an unconscious relationship. Unconsciously that he had the relationship between God and Klal Yisrael. It was an unconscious in Klal Yisrael's mind. But it existed. And David HaMelech simply put his finger on it. And put his finger on it, that drove him crazy. So the unconscious is not good. I'm basing what I'm saying on a knowledge of how the unconscious works. The unconscious ideas that are kept by certain forces. They're kept, under wraps, so to speak. They can't get out. But you can't keep anything in the mind that way. So what happens is it shoots out signals. They become distorted in the process. They undergo variations and changes. And that's exactly what happens with infrasensitive. So that's how the person, due to the various situations, the unconscious is causing certain reactions. And no matter how absurd the argument, they will simply, and that's why this laugh and ridicule, all these things show one thing. It shows a lack of any kind of objectivity. It shows a compulsion. It shows an obsessive kind of nature. It's first he said he went crazy by Douglas, small little giant. First he said he went crazy that he was being confronted by David HaMelech. And then it says, then David HaMelech continued. David HaMelech knew the fear, and he enhanced it. That's it. Why do you say it to him? Because that was the proper thing to say. He knew that was precisely the message that he has to give them at that point. And that would destroy him. The Jew, that's to say, what I want to say to this. The Jew, unfortunately, see this, the fact that the Jew has a superiority in all major areas, is something which, unfortunately, I mean, that is really, when you take a look at the situation, that is our problem. Problem is that the Jew himself, because of his own lack of knowledge, becomes very haughty, extremely haughty about himself. And it's an interesting thing, but these characteristics don't have to do, as a matter of fact, the further away from Torah, it's surprising, because, you see, the Jew is a, there's something in the Jewish nature that lends itself to a certain kind of a haughty attitude. Unfortunately, the Jew recognizes that he has certain superiorities, but unfortunately doesn't recognize what the source is. That's really where Yadis is. Yadis maintains that we are not superior. We're not superior. Yadis maintains the only reason we're superior is because of the Avos, because we come from the Avos, and because of the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. I mean, that's the whole basically that level. It really would be, what does the bottom mean? It means the lowest level. We'd be on the lowest level. We'd be on the lowest level. So we really maintain that were it not for Matan Torah, we'd be nothing. But the Jew that is removed from Torah becomes arrogant because of the superiority, the superior effects that he sees in his own people. And it has nothing to do with Frinka. Never from that. I met somebody who was in the airport coming back from the Bnei Noach conference. So I met a Jew who in the airport. I saw him standing in line buying some tacos over there. So he comes over to me, I bought a cup of coffee, I sat down at a table, and he starts talking to me.
The time that he's a very wealthy Jew. He's retired, and what was he into? He was into was going to Washington, D.C. to look up a... He had this theory, this great idea he had. This theory about a word. I forgot what the word was now. Some word that he was tracing back to the 11th century. He's going to... He's going to... He's going to Washington to look up all the biggest resources in the country to be able to find out whether his this idea is correct. So he asked me what I'm doing. I said, well, I'm returning from a trip. It was a trip. I called him Bnei Noach and Tennessee. Oh, Bnei Noach, he says, this guy's a reformed guy, reformed Jew. Bnei Noach, what are they? And I said, well, they're people that really, that are looking for the truth in religion, and they feel that the truth in religion is the Torah, you know? Oh, you're Orthodox? Yeah, I'm Orthodox. It's not that. So then, before he leaves, he says, have a good time, he says, and enjoy your trained monkeys. Trained monkeys. In other words, he was calling the Goyim, the Bnei Noach, monkeys. I was shocked. He was a liberal. I'm supposed to be the one that's the one who's precious. I'm supposed to be the old-fashioned, old-time, narrow-minded Jew. And he is the open-minded, modern, liberal, democratic individual. And he called them monkeys. What's the shot? And the truth of the matter is, I mean, I hate to say it, I went with Lama Tov on Claudius Rowe, but the fact is he's on a wild goose chase of some kind of total nonsense that is absolutely absurd. And these guys are really looking for true ideas. It's unfortunate. I mean, you know, it's an unfortunate thing. So, the truth of the matter is that the Jew, the Jew who is non-religious, is very arrogant. He's very arrogant. Of course, that adds tremendous fuel to the whole anti-Semitism. That's what I one time said by Yaakov Wiener. Movan garati v'tayag mitzvah shemati. If the Jew kept tayag mitzvahs, it would be less than the Jew that gets away from tayag mitzvahs and becomes simply inherently arrogant. It's like that really fans the fires of anti-Semitism. So, I'm not saying it'll be removed if it's the other way, but I'm just saying that there's different ways that the anti-Semites are affected. That can be worse many times. That can be worse many times. So, exactly. If the Jews remained loyal to and faithful to the Torah, it would be much less. The anti-Semitism usually starts when the Jew starts going out of his sphere and starts going into the world of the guy. That's much worse, yeah. Anti-Semitism will always be found in people that are egomaniacal in nature. They have to become anti-Semites because they cannot face the fact that the Jew is intrinsically a superior person. When I say intrinsically, I'm saying I qualify that. I'm saying the way they look at it, you know what I mean? But that's not the way Yadis looks at it. Contrary. That's why I say if a person really is shown upon mitzvahs, he would exhibit a tremendous humility. That would reduce the hatred in a certain way, in a certain manner. Doesn't mean there wouldn't be any amulet. I mean, it doesn't mean that. But I'm just saying that the other way is oftentimes worse. Yeah. The reason, you see, this question is often asked, why is it if the Jew's superiority, any kind of superiority that a Jew has is really from Torah, so why is it that the Jews that are not religious, nothing to do with Torah. Why are they spirit? The answer is because there is a phenomena of a characteristic that is embedded in a nation. Embedded in a nation. I'll give you an example. I had a tenant many years ago who was an Italian medical student. And he was specialized in medicine. He studied by, remember he mentioned to me that he studied by a professor at Harvard University said, this person used to come back to me. His whole thing was he admired the Jews very much because he saw it in medicine, so he was all the Jews. So, matter of fact, he was an Italian. What was he looking forward to? He says, I'm looking forward to be successful and getting myself. like a Jew. so he said, he says, this professor,
that's how brilliant this. He's trying to explain to me how brilliant this man was in medicine. Professor, Jewish professor in Harvard. So he says to me, like, I was interested, hearing something. I said, tell me a little about him. So he says, when he goes to an opera, for instance, goes to an opera, he says, on the way there, while he's traveling in the train, he says, he's reading, he's studying something. Always studying. He says, so somebody missed him. I said, how come you're always studying? He says, when I was a kid, when I was a youngster, he says, I was raised in a house where they studied Torah. He says, and the main thing was, there was a thing called Bittelsmann. Can't waste any time. Can't waste any time. It's like this Italian doctor, and he didn't have any concept. What do you mean, can't waste any time? People, that's the whole society. What do you do when you're not involved in something exciting? You kill time. He says, so you see, but this person, he wasn't religious. But what I want to show you is that those qualities carry over. Respect for Chachma. Where does the respect for Chachma come from? That's the source. That's why they excel. They always excel because they take these characteristics and they use them in the other fields competitively, and they're always going to become on top. It's an ingrained kind of thing. Even the way they think is totally different. And especially, and it's a strange thing, but the arrogance itself. See, the arrogance itself helps them prevail. See? There's one thing. What's the one thing really that the anti-Semite has never been able to accomplish? And what really destroys him is he's never been able to accomplish one thing, that the Jew should think to himself that he's inferior. Never happened. No matter what. Kill them, destroy them, put them in ghettos, do anything. Never did any Jew think that he's inferior. This is crazy. Happens to be true. And that mentality, by the way, is one that really lends itself to success. Because right away he's on top, he's in the forefront. Okay? He's in the foreground. He's in blazing trail. Doesn't accept that. That's why it works. Great. Right. Any exposure at all. Einstein's parents were not really, didn't have any shaches to Yadis. But the way of life, the recognition of Chachma, and the appreciation of knowledge, all that, there's no Jew that doesn't have that. The only non-Jew that will avoid anti-Semitism is the one that is, that has humility. The one that is honest and has humility, like a Mark Twain. That's not good. Otherwise, you're not going to find it. That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is to say that a Jew is the only mind that's intelligent, because a Jew's mind is crazy. That's Jewish arrogance. There are plenty of good heads, fantastic minds, that were not Jewish. Right? It's a fact. But in terms of the rate is unbelievable. What? Megillah bears out the fact that the key to understanding anti-Semitism is that it's not to be understood in conscious terms. It's an unconscious phenomenon. That's the contradiction of Zeresh. Pasuk says that, Alright? Alkain, Alkol, Divrei, Oigerasazos. The whole idea of Hippo Poor is two things. I mean, it's two things. I mentioned one time before, it's like a banal, I was gone. Sure that whatever the luck comes out to. But also, Hippo Poor is arrogance. See, the Pasuk says in Shayo that Nebuchadnezzar of Russia, when his downfall came, so it's interesting, so Yeshayahu talks about, when the downfall of Nebuchadnezzar came, so Yeshayahu talks about how all the nations of the world will rejoice, because now they're going to say, finally peace came to the land. Because what did he do? He would have the various kings, and have them, the labor tax. So he would tax the countries. So how would he have his labor tax? He would throw a girdle. Who's going to, what does that mean? It means to say a goro shows, if you take a person, you need to force them to work for you. At least there's some kind of a personal recognition. I'm forcing you.
Goro feels that he's worthless, completely worthless. The same thing over here with the Itopur. Itopur was really to not just to destroy the Jew in a planned way. That's still some kind of recognition. Still some kind of recognition. I say, just going to depend upon a Goro a lot. It means to say there's absolutely no value, no recognition at all to these people. So cannot in this day will destroy them on this day. So Purim again, the whole King Karl and all Purim Hashem Apur, is because that's really to remind us of what the original plan was. It's an interesting thing, because in the Megillah, really, it's two opposites that we celebrate in Purim. Yes, yes. Celebrate also the what do you call it? The low level that we were on before the group. That's also very important. That's why the Rashitas, the Gainim that way, they say Tachanan upon. It's a Tachanan upon. Why? Because it's, to remind ourselves of the Zaok of the, that took place then. The name Purim really is a name which is, the term is really, it's funny. The term isn't the term of Simcha. The term of Purim is really the opposite. Okay, it's a, Al Shem HaPur. Al Shem HaPur. That was the potential destruction. Interesting thing. That's an amazing thing. That's one thing you see in Klal Yisrael. You see that the Yadus demands that you don't forget there's no such thing. See, by Goyim Lahavra, you have, when something great happens, they get involved with me in their enjoyments. So they want to forget the past. They want to forget. Yeah, this is just that. You never forget the state that you were in before. Because there's important knowledge to be derived from that. If you forget that, then you're prone to repeat the same situation. So the very name of Purim is really amazing. It's just the opposite. That's more significant. More significant. Simcha is very important, but more significant is to recognize the state that you were in before. The state that you narrowly escaped. Okay? Yeah. By the way, it says, Moro al kocho moagiawe. What does it say? Moro. So I went through this, I'm not going to go through this again, the whole of the Mudim from the Megillah, you know, how each one played their role, and they, et cetera, et cetera. But take a look. Moro chashverish and mishtamish b'kli HaKadosh. Why did he use Kriya Kodesh? What does it show you? The fact that he used Kriya Kodesh, what does it show you? It shows you one thing. That he believed. Again, it's an unconscious phenomenon. He believed in the Beis HaMikdash. Down deep, he believed in the Beis HaMikdash, and he was afraid of the Beis HaMikdash. That's why he used those kelim, to prove to himself that these kelim are not. I'm not afraid of them. That's correct. The fact that he can't shows you he was very, very concerned about it. Very concerned about it. Yes, that's correct. Yeah. But the... And the same thing in the Arch of Titus and Rome. Same exact thing. What do they have? Yeah. He has a picture of the Jews carrying the yeah. The one thing he shows. What does he show? Why do you have to, well, what is that? I mean, what is the religion is the religion. Okay. But the wrecking underneath is the recognition. Underneath is the recognition. That's it. Yeah, under that. Correct. It's hard to learn the pasuk. It's very hard to, that's the problem. The Rav one time said, the problem is we don't know how to learn a pasuk. And, by the way, you know, by Megillah, the Yerushalmi says that Megillah is Tamita Shofar. What does it mean? It says, it's Nitin Lidarish. Nitin Lidarish. It's written in the same way as the rest of Torah, that every word is, we know what a drusha looks like. We might not, it's a funny thing, we might not be able to figure out in advance. A lot of times, the pasuk can't figure out, then you see the chazal. But once you see the chazal, you recognize that that's a pshat. You know there's a certain kind of a pshat that you deserve.
What does Rav mean when we don't know how to read the
pshat? Al-kain al-kol divrei ha-yigeres zos. So Rashi is nikvu ha-yomim ha-ela. U-lekach nichtava l-das doros ha-boy. Okay. So what does the pasuk say really? Al kain al kaza funny. I mean, you just can't read it. Al kain al kol devrei yigeres. What al kain al kol devrei yigeres zos? What does it mean? What it means to say is al kain al kol devrei yigeres zos. Al kol devrei yigeres zos nikvuhu hayom emayva. So I mean, I understand the last part. Al kach nikvuhu das doros abon. What does it mean?
Al Kain al Kol Divrei Igeres Zos Nikvu Hayom Megala. These days were Kavua through the Igeres. Al Kol Divrei Igeres Zos. What does it mean? It means to say, I will see, let's go to the next passage. It says, Kimu V'kibu Ayudim Aleim Val Zaram Val Kol Nilvim Aleim V'lo Yavo. Okay. Lios Osim Es Shnei Ayom Megala, to make these 2 days, Kichsovam V'chizmano V'chol Shana V'shan. It's strange thing. What do you mean, Kichsov? The passage doesn't make any sense. Kima Kilo Aleim Al Zaram is fine. Val Kol Nilvim Aleim, okay. That's interesting too. What's Al Kol Nilvim Aleim? So it means Gerim Ha'asidim Es Gaya. And Nach, Nilvim Aleim could mean one of two things. Either it could mean a goy, like a Gel Toshev or Ben Noach, or else it could mean somebody that was Megaya. You have to be careful when it says Nilva, does it mean one of two? But Rashi says over here it means Gerim. Gerim Ha'asidim Es Gaya. So it's a simple question. Why do you have to be, what? A ger is like a Jew. What's the difference? So the answer that I one time gave this year on geris, where I showed that a ger is not like a Jew. A ger is five minutes like a Jew, but a ger is basically a separate entity. Because Matan Torah was Kovea Kal Yisrael. Was not Kovea anybody else. Somebody stranger wants to come to be Megaya, you can't do it. But there's a separate Zeres HaKosm that says that there's a phenomena of an adjunct, so to speak, to Kal Yisrael. It's like, the Gemara uses Kashin Gelin Soka Sapachas, but it uses the term Sapachas because Sapachas means something that's attached, and attached something that's attached to the skin. So it means that it means that the Gale really doesn't have the same Chalashon. Doesn't have the same Chalashon as you. It doesn't mean that he is personally divorced, but it's not talking about his individual level of what he is as an individual. But it's talking categorically insofar as the halachic structure is concerned. That's something, by the way, that the Goyim just you can't understand. Categorical halachic structures. Jews can understand, I swear. So categorically, the Goy is considered like an adjunct. The ger, rather, is considered like an adjunct. Sometimes the Goy also. You have to look at the pasuk. Like, for instance, it says by the Goyim, it says, Vinilvu goyim rabin awar Hashem bayom hahu v'hoyu lilom. Hoyu lolom. Hoyu lolom. So what does the pasuk mean? Vinilvu goyim rabin awar Hashem bayom hahu. That's not referring to Gerim. That's referring to goyim. That's saying, Mos Mashiach. V'hoyu lolom. You see? That means that it actually means that the Bnei Noach, I mean, will be a nation to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. A nation of a separate nation of Israel. It says, but then the pasuk goes with Shechanti Besocha. It was there'll be a nation, but with Shechanti Besocha. Shechin is only among Klal Yisrael. That's separate. So the Ger, the Megayer, he has a right. He takes part of Klal Yisrael because of the fact that there's a category that allows for an attachment to Klal Yisrael. Okay, so all the mitzvahs up to this point were already Kachem Kageriya. Pasuk says it in several places that the Torah has yilafon la gergob zoch. So the Torah already included that adjunct, that community that's attached to Klal Yisrael. But over here they were mekabel a new mitzvah. It's a new mitzvah. So you have to have a separate kabbalah for the community of Ger. That's why it says kibul yidam alayim va'al zayim va'al kol anuvim alayim. Because it's a separate chavashia. I didn't think I spoke about it in the last year of Hanukkah. That the Rambam only counts one mitzvah. So I would say what Rabbi Rosenthal is asking is, what about the Ner Hanukkah? So really there are two mitzvahs in the Rambam. Mechuvos Megillah Hanukkah, yesh b'chol shtei mitzvahs asay b'divrei sofrim, ainam in a minute. What did the two mitzvahs say? He doesn't count the Shalach Manas and Suda, he doesn't count that. He only counts Megillah and Hanukkah. And Lux and Eris. Now the Rambam says, in the rough point in the once, "Vadlokas aneiros behen mitzvah nidivei sofim kriyas haMegillah." So that's why the Rambam reversed the order. First he had Megillah, and then he had Hanukkah, because Megillah came first. So it means to say that in establishing the mitzvah of Hanukkah, they followed the exact same format as for right. Mitzvah nidivei sofim ki kriyas haMegillah, exactly the same way. So you must say it means that all the tanoim and all the conditions that were this pasuk over here, because there's no Kisrei Kodesh about Hanukkah, this pasuk, Va'al Kol Anuvim Aleihem, was also part of the structure. Because it was exactly accepted, exactly in the same format as the mitzvah Christmas door. Okay? Yeah. V'lo yavar. V'lo yavar means, and it won't say so. V'lo yavar. That they'll live forever, they accept it. Leo sosin, es shnei ayomim ha'ela, that's good. But now the next word is fine. I mean, Leo sosin, if you were writing the Megillah, it said this. Leo sosin, es shnei ayomim ha'ela, bismanam. Kismanam. Okay. What is kifsavam? Kifsavam doesn't make any sense. So you should make these 2 days as they are written. I mean, kifsavam as they are written. Bismanam. Well, what's the writing got to do with it? What kind of a writing? I mean, it should say, unless you want to say, the Moshe Kosov, this man that's Kosov, you know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense. What is Kosov? How can you do it Kosov? It doesn't make any sense. Okay. So Rashi says, Kosov, Rashi says, Shetehei HaMegillah Ksuva Ksava Shus. Yeah. Like I say, I mean, what is it? What's a Pashup Shat in the Pasuk? What's Shat in the Pasuk? Okay. Yeah, interesting. Tirgum says, yeah. The from Rashi, look at there. From Rashi, you have to make do a long conclusion. What is Rashi telling you, really? He's telling you one clock. Leos osim eshnei yomim ha'ela. What does it mean, asiyas ha'yamim? Asiyas ha'yamim doesn't mean the celebrations. It means the asiyas ha'yamim is really through what? Through Megillah. That's, the asiyas ha'yam is through the Pesach Megillah. That's why it says, that's what it means. It means to say, that the essence of the Yom, without Megillah, there's no Purim. Without Megillah, there's no Purim. Really, the day of Purim becomes a day of Purim only because of Kriyas HaMegillah. Kriyas HaMegillah is not an isolated mitzvah. It's not an isolated mitzvah. Now take a look at the next pasuk, where it says, Vayomim Ha'ela Nizkorim V'Nasim. What is Nizkorim V'Nasim? Nizkorim B'Kriyas HaMegillah V'Nasim Mishteh V'Simcha V'Yom Tov. Losses manos matanos. See? What is it saying? It's a breakdown of before. It means to say, the asiya itself is nothing unless you have niskorim, unless you have lima Torah, unless you have Megillah. Without lima Torah, there's no problem. Now, of course, the problem, that's what it means, I guess. Leo sosim shnei yom ma'ela kich savam. What does it mean? What is asiya? Asiya is kriyas Megillah. How must it be written? Kich savam means selashos. It must be written Ksav Ashurus. Okay? Ksav Ashurus is one of the three requirements of the Sefer. In order to have another Sefer, you need to actually take Tenechtevis Ksav Ashurus, Ala Sefer, Klaf, Ubidyo. Okay? So it means that the Chefza Shal Megillah must be a Chefza Shal Sefer. Yeah. But the question you have to ask for the first mission, what is my name? Get all of the days. Yes. You see? All those days. So how could you have, if you're going to tell me that Kriyas Megillah is in essence, so then how could it be that you could learn the Megillah before? That's a question. See, the Rav one time said that the idea of learning the Megillah before is that the Kiyum takes place before the Machayev. That's what he said. The Kiyum and Mitzvah takes place before the Machayev. Later I heard he changed his mind about that. I missed the second shiur. Tell me later he changed his mind. But, see, I think there's a halacha like this. I think the whole halacha, the halacha of Magdim Liyom HaKnisa, being Magdim Liyom HaKnisa, is, when you laid it before, is really a separate halacha. It is Kriyas Purim, but there's a halacha of Magdim. Magdim Kriyasa means, Magdim means it really is Kriyas Purim. It's not a Kriya B'fnei Atzmo. It's not a separate mitzvah Megillah that takes place before. You see. It's really Kriya Shel Purim, but I'm being Magdim to Kriya. Magdim is a concept, is an intrinsic concept. In other words, I'm saying Magdim is not descriptive. I'm saying that you actually, you know what I mean, you learned it before. Magdim is a halacha definition. That there's such a phenomena of being Magdim. Magdim means it's the same Kriya, but I'm just being Magdim. You see? You know what I mean? So actually, even when you're laying on your Aleph, your Beis, and your Gimel, so what you're doing is, it's a Kriya Shel Purim. But where's the Kriya? But Purim is a Kriya. But where is the Kriya? I'm Magdim the Kriya. It's the same. No difference. Okay? Alright?
But the day is qualified by Kriya. What I'm saying is every time you mag them, it's always the same thing. Like when you mag them, like over here you mag them Tainus Esther. So Tainus Esther really is, we spoke before about the idea that we recall the Zohar. Because that's what Tainus Esther is. Tainus Esther is Tachnuna. It's Tachnuna. As a matter of fact, it seems to me that Tainus Esther is not essentially a Tainus so much as it really is Tachnunim. It's Tachnunim, really, but the shear of Tachnunim is Tainus. The ultimate shear of Tachnunim is Tainus. Because you see, it has a different characteristics than other Tainus. Different characteristics. For instance, there's no concept of Avelis on Tainus Esther. It's the only one that's not good Avelis. And also, you see, your Mako, what? That's right. That's exactly. That's why over here you mark it. Of course, in ordinary, we can't mark them a tiny, because Agdumi Purunisha, Lomagdumina. You see? But this is not prime. It's a different thing. There's Tashlum with regard to Tainus Esther. I always get, every year I get the same kind of phone calls. People call me up, and they say, they're not well, you know, they can't fast. I say, okay, but you have to be Mashal and Tainus. I'm feeling fine. Yeah, that's true. That's another riot. Not really a chalashem in the day, is it's an act of tachnuna. Remember the tachnuna. And that's why really there's tachnuna. Because really there was a minig, that's brought down that they used to fast 3 days in the month of Adar. Zecher Lamar Chavesta. Okay? And so they didn't make it in the month of Nisan because actually it would have been Zecher better in the month of Nisan. Can't do one. Eat when they did it because Vayav or Mordechai. But they said no because you don't say Tachnun. Right, okay. You don't say Tachnun. So over here, you see the halacha is really that it's halacha of a zecher of a tchino bakasha. It's really a zecher of tchino bakasha. And that's why that zecher can make it a different time. Even after the panel, you see one thing. You see that the zecher they could make is a separate kino. Okay, but we tie, that's why we made Tainus Esther really as a zecher for the Tachnunim that they did for themselves at that time. It seems that the Kiyum of Zechiras, you made Tachnunim, can be done at any time. You know, it's a separate Kiyum of Nats Musa. I asked why it's a Kiyum of Nats Musa. So what it says like this, like I mentioned before, that there's really two kiyumim over there. The kiyum of the Simcha Purim and the zechira of the state that preceded it. And apparently there's a kiyum even. Of course, the best thing is that it should be simultaneous. But you see that there's a kiyum of the Tachnunim itself, even without the Yomei HaPurim. Because you see that they did it after the, that was an old minute, that they did it even after the 3 days in the month of Adar. It was 3 days after Purim. Shani Chamish and Shani. Okay. So at any rate, but it's interesting. Bayam Melin is Karvan Asin, so the essence is really, yeah, so Rashi says that there must be, that's what Rashi says, Tehayam Megillu Tzuk Savashiris. Okay. Now, Bayam Mo'ela, it means Savashiris means that it has to have the characteristic of Tisha Kodesh. It has to have the characteristic of Tisha Kodesh. Bayam Mo'elin is Karvan Asin, Bechol Dor Vador, and it's interesting. It says, Mishpacha, Mishpacha, Medina, Medina, Vihirhoye. What's the pshat, Meshpacha? Oh, by the way, I want to mention Targum HaKadosh corroborates that pshat in Rashi. Because it says, the Metoshon Alein V'lo Yevar Kiyoma Dihon Ov Din Yastrenyo Maya Ha'ilein, he says, L'mikre Yas Megilta K'michtav Rosh HaMevroi. K'michtav Rosh HaMevroi. It's an interesting thing, see? Targum HaKadosh says it should be written. He explains in a way why it has to be Savashuras. Because, see, the Brisker Rav says, maintains that Megillah is a separate entity. It's not Kisvei Kodesh. A separate Halashem of Megillah. Okay? A separate Halashem of Megillah. It's a separate, he has a lot of writers for it. Separate Halashem of Megillah. And, over here it fits in very nicely. Because what does it mean, Shetenech Tevis, Ksuvik Savashuras? Okay, you're gonna mean this right, but it's gonna be right. If you're gonna say that it's Kisvei Kodesh, of course it has to be Savashuras. See? But the pshat is really in the Megillah is a separate chafter. A separate chafter. But listen to the Tirgum. I don't know if it's before. So yes. Yehon Ovdin, Yehon Ovdin, Yastrain Yomaya Ha'ilein Mikre Yas Megilta. You see the word of Yasiya? It's the Mikre. By the way, the Gemara wants to bring a riot from Leos Osim. I forget. And then the Gemara says no. That Chris and Gilgamesh says no, it's Niskar Vinasim. But there's no skill between Niskar Vinasim and Leos Osim. Niskar Vinasim is a breakdown of what Leos Osim meant before. You understand? So he says, Yehon Ovdin, Yehon Ovdin, Yastrain Yomaya Ha'ilein Lemikre Yas Megilta, Kimichtav Roshon Ivroi. What does Kimichtav Roshon Ivroi? It means like the Ksav of the Jew. What is the Ksav of the Jew? The Jew only has one Ksav. That's Kisvei Kodesh. So it seems from here that the reason why it has to be Ksuva Ksav Ashuris is not because of Halacha of Kisvei Kodesh, but because the Megillah has to have the character of the Ksav Ivroi, the Ksav of a Jew. And what is the Ksav of a Jew? Kisvei Kodesh. Okay.
Because
really, the truth of the matter is, the Megillah can be ksuva in any language, b'chaloshen. Right? Megillah says b'chaloshen. But if it's written in Hebrew, so it has to be ksav ashuris. See? Why? Because the reason why the other lashonos is good is because the other lashonos, like the Rosh, the other lashonos is a tirgum. It's a separate loch of tirgum. Okay, but the original is really, it's only a tirgum of the original. But when it's written in Hebrew, it's the original. The original has to have the character of the ksav of the Jew. And the ksav of the Jew is just a ksav. That's the only ksav. One time I showed there's only two things that have ksav. Shtar and Kisvei Kodesh. Halacha. There's nothing else. The real, of course, Shtar is but so far as the character of the, what we consider limud and we consider, if it's not a Shtar, there's only one kind of ksav. That's Kisvei Kodesh. That's why it has to be, to ksav ashuris. Okay, it must be tied to the idea of the fact the nature of the ksav that we have, which is ksav ashuris. Yes, so somebody asked me a question. They said Yossi Ezel says a question that it says the ksav ashuris should they nechtav ksav ashuris. But ksav ashuris was really what was Ezra. That was later. Of course, when they wrote the first Megillah, it was before they went up. It was still Arkanti Avdei Achashverosh, and Ezra was later. So he's correct. That's right. So the question is, so happy to have a requirement for the Megillah of Ksav Ashuris when the Megillah wasn't even written Ksav Ashuris. That's correct. By the way, saying it's not a halacha, a historical halacha. It's a you have to use the language, which is the language of the Ummah, which is established in Kisvei Kodesh. That's Ksav Ivroi. That's what it's very nice. As a matter of fact, I mean, he brings a riot, if I'm not mistaken, from the fact that Gemara says in the Machlokes whether it's Ruach HaKodesh or whether it's Matamis Yedayim. It's not in Thomas and Dimes, it's not Kisvei Kodesh, but still Yathwaim and Megillah. It's still Chet Shem Megillah. I'm not missing right now,
but he had
originally, yes, matter of fact, that was one of his riots. But stuff like, I'll show you what his riot is. It's like this. It says like this. It's an important Gemara. Nobody bothers. She's the emblem. It's like this. Kinos Cheskevis Yato Kosmo. All right. Yirmiyo Kasav Sifro V'Seif Malachim V'Seif Malachim V'Kinos. I'm sorry. Cheskiyo V'Kinos V'Yirmiyo Cheskiyo V'Siyato Kosru Yishchaya Mishlei Shir Ashirin V'Kohelas Anche Knesagol Kosru Yecheskel Shneimasa Daniel U'Megillah Sestam and Ezra Kosav Sifro. Alright, V'Yachas Tovayon. Okay. So now it's like this. So Rashi said, "Once can't say Gova Chagai Shchaim Malachai Zul Gova Lamorachai V'Chareim." Plus we Cheskyo. So she is not big Gova. Talk about Cheskyo Rishon. He said the Gova Gova. Any other Lamor plus we Cheskyo Batzma. Rashi is. In Mamad Neishul Nitra Nanevu Li Kosev B'Chutz La'aretz. Says the only reason I can think of is because Nevu wasn't given to be written down in Chutz La'aretz. Okay. The Kosvim Eil Lach Shabol Eretz Yisrael. La'aretz. Faces the kasha. Faces the kasha. The yim yo namichu b'chutz la'aretz ayat. Shalach b'mitzrayim. Then it's not b'shem kamen avuros. V'lo matzino shechaza yosel la'aretz as well. It's a good kasha. I want to give a different answer for you. Why you cheskel in the Isaiah. You take a look in the Rambam in the beginning, in the ones that are the Bali HaMasara, the cheskel's not there. He wasn't one of the Bali HaMasara. So what I want to say is that in order to write Kisvei Kodesh, it might only Bali Masorah could be done. So that's why he couldn't write it. That's why the Amchak Nesed wrote it. That would answer Taisha's question. But so at any rate, so Rashi over here says, so this is a Biskrov right, because Rashi over here says that when did they write it? They wrote it first when they went to Eretz Yisrael. Right? Oh, Rashi says that, he says, Mechem Migel Sester. He says, it was not Nitna Nevuah Lukasei B'chutzlaretz, but Kostvum Eilu La'acha Shebo'o La'aretz. V'chein Sefer Daniel, Shoya Bagola, V'chein Migel Sester. Okay? V'chein Migel Sester. And then Rashi, yeah, so wasn't it V'chein Migel Sester? So Migel Sester apparently wasn't written till when? Till later. Okay? Till later. Till they came to Eretz Yisrael. But over here in the Megillah, it says that Vatichal Esther Bas Esther Amata Basachal Mordechai Yudah is called Tokef Lukayim Esigeres Apurim Azos Hachenis. Okay, now you see the way the pasuk, I mean, the style of the pasuk. The pasuk writes in essential terms, not in literary terms. Lukayim Esigeres Apurim Azos Hachenis. The whole essence of Purim is the Geres, the Divrei Torah, the Megillah. It's an amazing thing. Yeah, there's a different type of lush. So, he says like this. So Rashi says, what does it mean? It means Hashenis, Lashon HaShniya, and it's a plain shot in the pasuk. Lashon HaShniya, Chosra Shokhu Svarim, Shiyasaporim. And it says about the Igeris, Igerisaporim. But it wasn't written down until when? Until they came to Eretz Yisrael. So how can you Makai and Megillah is no Megillah yet? It's not Kanakis Kodesh. Amazing thing.
That's right.
So he says, so you see that there's a Chalashem Megillah without Kisvei Kodesh. It's a separate entity. It's a Chafetz Hashem Mitzvah. It's an interesting thing. It's tied, it's like a new phenomenon. It's tied to Kisvei Kodesh, it's related to Kisvei Kodesh in certain ways, like it has to have the same Ksav as Kisvei Kodesh, but it's a separate Chafetz Hashem Mitzvah. And even if Hell is not Kisvei Kodesh, it still is, it's not Matamis Adayim, it still is a Chafetz Hashem. It's an interesting thing. It's a Chalashem Megillah. What? Chalashem Megillah. That's right. It's a Chalashem. What?
Right.
But I wanted to draw your attention to this one thing over here where it says, I never saw it before. I never looked into it. This car of a nasim b'chol dor v'dor mishpacha mishpacha atinam din v'ivir. Atinam din v'ivir. I understand. You know what I mean? It's practical. What if Mishpacha Mishpacha? I mean, Mishpacha Mishpacha. It means it can't exclude any year. I mean, it requires to all five as well. That's the Minig HaMaka. Year in Medina is Maka. You have a look of Minig HaMaka. Medina from this Medina, that Medina, different others. But over here, what is Mishpacha Mishpacha? What do you mean? What is Mishpacha? So Rashi's brother is saying, gosh, of course the Gemara is an Allah. Mishpachas is a Riyah, it means that you're masik because of, yeah, but that's not the Pshuta Shel Mikra. So Rashi says, Mishpacha, Mishpacha, an amazing Rashi. Mesasfin Yachad, Ve'ochlin, Ve'shosin Yachad. Family. Ve'kach Kibru Aleim, Shein Mea Purim Lo Yadru. What does Rashi say? Take a look at Rashi. What does Rashi mean? There's a loch of Klal Yisrael, there's a loch of Tzibur, there's a loch of Yachid, there's a loch of Chabur. But there's no place that I know of that there's a loch of Mishpacha. I don't know any place there's a loch of Mishpacha, a Kima Mishpacha. It's an amazing thing. And why? I'll tell you why there's not such a thing. Because Mishpacha is basically an egocentric idea. On the contrary, when a person is Elchel with Joseph, he's supposed to invite everybody in. I mean, Vafka Recha Kamacha doesn't mean your friends, it means anybody Klal Yisrael. Base office is right. But that's Chabura. But that's Chabura. Chabura is different. Mimi Chabura. Not because he's my family. It's Allah who's Mamun on the Sah. It's a Chabura. That makes sense. It's not egocentric. But the family, my family. Where's my family? That's in the country. At least the person giving certain special feelings to Dafka to his family and not to another Jew. You see? But look what Rashi says. Here's Rashi's book. It says, Mesasfin Yachad Vauchun Vishosun Yachad Vekach Kiblu Aleyen Shein Yimei Apurim Lo Yavu. What does it mean? I think what he means is, this is amazing, what he's saying is, that they did it because, in order to strengthen the situation that will lend itself to Kiyom throughout the Doros,
they added a certain emotional feature, which is mishpacha mishpacha, a kingdom of mishpacha. You see? That's what he means. The kach kibbol lam shiyamei apurim layavo. Because they didn't want, they wanted to strengthen it, to be mechazik, so that it should be something that people are attracted to and they want it. So it should be layavo. So they made it. It's an interesting thing. That's what Rashi says, that they made it. In other words, according to Rashi, I mean, you could say, according to Rashi, that there's definitely no halacha that a person has to have this suddas purim by his mishpacha. I mean, he's not put down in shachnah. There's no halacha like that. But it would seem from Rashi that there is a kiyum of mishpacha. So you have to be careful. It's not a chiyum. It's not a chiyum. It's not makiv. It's not a chiyum. But it seems to be a kiyum of mishpacha. It's a person, mishpacha, mishpacha. And we're kind of about ourselves that way. Yeah, in order to strengthen it, it should be an Indian of mishpacha. So it seems there's a kiyum of mishpacha. Well, see, there's a kiyum of mishpacha. Because mishpacha is ochlin v'shosin, mishpacha, misasvin yachad v'ochlin v'shosin. And when you get the mishpacha together, it better be a lot of shosin. Otherwise, the problem. So it's ochlin v'shosin yachad. So that's not shach on Hanukkah, there's no halacha b'chil v'shir. Yeah, halacha is to lend itself to conducive to emotional, an emotional state of simcha. That's why even shikras is it's machlokas shonim, but according to many shikras, even shikras is part of the siddur. What the pasuk is written. That's what the Gemara says. It's nitin nidarish. Nitin nidarish means the way the Torah writes is a little off, a little funny, literary, but that off, whenever you look into it, you always see there's an idea there, there's a concept there. It says, like, no one would write, there's a literary style, but Tichto, Vesta, Malka, Basar, Chal, Morach, Hidias, Kol, Tokav. Tokav what? Smichas. What Tokav show what? How do you stop in the middle of a phrase? Okay? So, the style, it's called the Tokav, so it's Machlokes, of course, Machlokes in Gemara. Well, it's Tokfo, where you start from the garden, where you didn't go from. Start from the Babel and the Shasa Melech, the Shehidi from the beginning. Okay? So it's an interesting thing. But it says Tokfo shall Mordechai, Tokfo shall Homon, Tokfo shall Hashler, it depends. So the war sheet is that they start Kanoim, they start in the Megillah, as the, what do you call it, Ben Perd Vav, Babel and the Shasa Melech. Have a vibe, they do that. But anyways, we don't want fortune in the boss now. So. Tokvashal Nes is Balayla who Nadash Nasamela. They started from above. But what does it show you? It shows you something. I mean, there's a concept here in the pasuk. Tokva. It's called Tokva. It shows you, this is the only thing, you see, the Kriya of the Megillah is different than the Kriya, like of, Kriya of Tisha Kodesh. Like Kriya Sefer Torah. Oh look, it means the Kriya, it's Kala Torah. You have to finish Kala Torah Kula in a year. So it's Kriya Sachefza Shel Torah. Over here, the Kriya is related to what? It's related to, a theme, a subject matter. It's a Kriya of a subject matter. So, it's not Kriya of Megillah. I read the Megillah from A to Z. You know what I mean? It's not a Kriya of Megillah. But what it's a halacha of reading a certain substance, a certain theme. That's the halacha. Just so happens that we all talk for Shalacha Shverish. So therefore, you have to stop at the beginning of the Sefer. But we're not reading the Megillah. Because in reading, the reading always has to be commensurate with the Sefer. You say, read the Sefer. It means that reading over here, it's not true. It just so happens, it coincides. The theme coincides with the extent of the full Sefer. That's a different concept of Kriya over here. And that's just called Torah. Okay? Now it's like this. Vayishlach Svarim, El Kol Yehudim, El Sheva, Resume, Medina, Machas Hashverosh, Divrei, Shalom, Ve'emes. Again, something's out of place. Divrei Shalom is very nice. You know, you say, greetings. But what is suddenly Ve'emes? What's Ve'emes? Okay. Yeah, what do you mean? Okay. So Chazal, of course, derived from here. Malamed Shetzuchah Shirtut Ka'amita Shel Torah. Alright? Yeah, but I mean, how do you get there? But actually this time, there was nothing about that. There wasn't any, see, Divrei Shalom. Divrei Shalom is very nice. Say Shalom. But what is the MS? The MS means that the, see, MS Kine, the Pasuk says. The world isn't for MS Kine. MS Kine, MS means terror. Means terror. It means to say that what they, the Divrei Shalom that they sent, well, not just Divrei Shalom, was Divrei MS. It means they told them that if you want to partake of the amicus of Torah, then you have to establish the Megillah. That's the Shalom. Divrei Shalom of MS. That's why the Gemara says, Malam Echitzvicha Shirtut Karmita Shal Torah. The halacha, it's a halachic phenomenon also, but that's the plain shot that stems directly from the plain shot in the Mikra. They weren't just sending Shalom. Okay? It wasn't some Shalom Alech. It was Shalom with an idea. The idea was that MS Kinei, you want to become an MS, then you have to have Kriyas Megillah. In order to become the Torah, you have to have Kriyas Megillah. It's an interesting thing. See, the Briskerov says also, he says the halacha of Shirtut is not a halacha in Sefer Torah per se. It's a halacha in the Divrei Sefer Torah. Divrei Sefer Torah. Because you see, the Rambam says, by Tefillin, that Tefillin do not require Shirtut. Why? So what do you have to give a reason for? There's no exception counsel for it. They don't require Shirtut because they're covered. It says, There's no exercise for tefillin. So the Bereshit Rav said no, because the halacha is that Divrei Torah requires shirtut. So therefore tefillin should require shirtut, because it's still Divrei Torah. But he says no, since they're mechufin, so that's why you don't need it.
In the words.
So that's the pshat, Divrei Shalom v'emes. It means it's referring to, you see, in the Megillah, and the whole content of the Megillah is different. Because in the Megillah, the words are really the essence. See, that's why it's called Tokyah. It's Tokyah. It's different. It's not the halach of Sefer. It's the substance of the words plays a major role. And that's Divrei Shalom v'emes. It means the ideas that are reflected in the Megillah. And there's another limit from Divrei Shalom v'emes. V'emes kamitra Torah means that you darshan it by Torah. You darshan every word. It's written exactly in a way that you darshan, just like amitra shel Torah.
Okay.
That would apply even if it's not written Baruch Kaddish.
Okay.
And that was a means to say it was exactly, even if it wasn't written Baruch Kaddish, it was written through the Chochmah of the Anshe Knesset Hagdola, which had the 120 Chachamim and Kamen Neviim, 120 Zekenim Kamen Neviim, so it was written in that same style. It's just like the Rambam and the Mara Chochmah. It's the same thing. The Rambam writes in the Mara, that he wrote it, the basis of what I'm doing is he followed the exact same style of the Torah. The Torah conceals things by those changing those words. That's exactly the same style that he used in writing Amar. I come out with my mayhem. Okay, it's mine. To work, Hashekiyam Aleyem Mordechai Yehudi V'Esther Malka V'Hashekimu Amnafshon V'Al Zaram. Everything's fine again. Until we get to the last few words. Divrei Atzomos V'Zar Kosom. That we don't know what it means. What do you mean? Kashakim alayim morech yuvesa makov kashakim alayim morech yuvesa makov. Finish. What's the real sense of that kosa? Where does that fit in? Okay. Rashi doesn't say a word on this. Rashi doesn't say a word. But the Ibn Ezra says, he says, Tam Divrei Shalom, okay, Tam Emes, Shem Chem Chem Purim, Kashi Chem Chem Chem, Omamar Esther, Kiyam, oh yeah, by the way, that's why it says I just get one thing. The Zichron, yeah, where's the Zichron versus the Zorans were? Did I skip there? Yeah, the Zichron was Yosef Nisara. That all ties into the same thing. A kamita shel Torah, Divrei Shalom v'emes. That's why it says Megillah will never become bubble. That's the Divrei. The reason the difference is because the content of the theme of the Megillah is different than other Kisvei Kodesh. That's why it won't become bubble. That's all more roa kocha more giyaweya. That's the whole thing. Everything in this parak, I mean, ties in. It all ties into one thing. Okay. Now, so yes, it's Divrei Atzomos. This is a big problem. When people saw Divrei Atzomos as a kosam, so immediately they thought,
That's Tainus Esther. That Tainus, how do you know that's Tainus Esther? Pasuk! Give that so much as our question. It's a mistake. Why is it a mistake? People will resist this question. It's a mistake because of the fact that that can't mean Tainus Esther. Because it's divrei atzmos, the Zohar Kosam is referring to the tiniest that they faced with that. Nothing, the tiniest Esther, unless there was halacha. See, unless the halacha was yet 3 days fasting. There's no halacha like that. So divrei, so what does it mean divrei atzmos Zohar Kosam? How are they in the Kabbalah upon themselves to do divrei atzmos Zohar Kosam? There's no Kabbalah. Where do you find such a thing? Alright? So there is a Gemara. Here's a Gemara that says, depends on the gears of this. Gemara says, Divrei Atzmos was our custom. It says in Mamar Esther Kina. So the one way you can learn Pshat in the Gemara is there's two gears. You learn the Bach doesn't matter. So if you learn differently, it comes out that what it means like this. Mamar Esther Kina. So Gemara says, Mamar Esther Kina, but Divrei Atzmos was our custom locally. So originally they asked for Divrei Atzmos was our custom. But they didn't, well, too much. They didn't get it. Okay? Yeah. But That's one shot. Even as a shot. That says, you know, it's Kashakim Aleh, Marachir Vestamakul, Kashakim Aleh, Razaram, Divrei Kemo, Divrei Atzmos is our cousin. Halachically, really, it works out nicely. Because the whole Hetra, to create the Yom HaPurim, really came from the Dalet Zomos. Because how do you know you have a right to make a day like that? It says, So really comes as a prototype. Ibn Ezra is very good. Ibn Ezra really works out a lot. We also, Divrei Atzmos HaKosam as a prototype. That's one shot. But there's another shot, you see. Rabbeinu Tam asks a question, where's the source for Tainus Esther? Where's the source of, where do you see the source of Tainus Esther? It says that a minute, Yom Kippur Lako, is a minute. But take a look. Tirgum Unkel says like this. Tirgum Unkel says, Kimon Nafshon, Nafshon Val Beneon, Le Mehevehon De Chirin, Pisgomet Sol Maya Utsaluson. So apparently he learns, that's the sense of the plaintiff's child, that they will Makayim upon themselves, Chashakim Lachazan, Divrei Atzmos to make a Zecher. Divrei Atzmos HaKosam. Not the fast, but to make it the Zecher for the Divrei Atzmos HaKosam. So, Maple Metal Miami, is Divrei Atzmos HaKosam means to make a Zecher. So that's the pshat, that's what it means when we say that the Tainus Esther, Rabbeinu Tam says it was Yom Kippur Lako, it means it was done, because Erev, they fasted, there was another fast that they fasted also. They fasted Erev, the Muhammad. So, it's halacha, that's one shot in Tainus Esther. But another shot in Tainus Esther is, Divrei Atzmos HaZohar Kosam is to, there was halacha of Zechira. But how was the Zechira? It doesn't say what the Zechira was. Could be through Tachnunim, might be say Tachnun on Purim. But apparently this Kiyam of Zechira became crystallized in what? In Tainus Esther. In Tainus Esther. I think the Rambam also heard it. The Rambam is Perek Hamishiyah L'Steinus Halacha Hey. The Noru Kosho was Man Mele L'Sanas. Yud Gimel Ba'ada Zecher L'Steinus She'es Anu Din Mehama. So Yishinem Adivri Atzmos HaZohar Kosho. Goes to Pasuk. So apparently it's like the Tirgum. It was to make a Zecher for Atzmos. It doesn't mean Divri Atzmos. The Rambam doesn't mean Yishinem Adivri Atzmos HaZohar Kosho. Then you have to fast 3 days. Right? But it means to say that they were makabel upon themselves to make a Zecher for the time. So the Rambam also was a direct Zecher. So it's machlokes, whether it was because of the Melchama or whether it was because of the Zecher. Well, that's a pshat. Yeah, at any rate, in the Pascha, the Divrei Atzmos HaZohar Kosam.
I was going to say the Maharishai, it's clear.
Yes, you're right. It's an excellent raya. Gemara after Zion Amar Aleph says, Ki Nafal Tipal Afanav, Dora Shabhita Babaloi, Shtena Filas Alala Lama, Lama Amulo, La Lama, I'm sorry, Amulo, Umazu, Meshula La Afar, Meshula La Kachot, Shame Yerdim, Yerdim Arafa, Shame Olim Olim Al Kachot. So this is the time of the anti-Semitic attacks is when he's vulnerable, when he's on his Nafal. Yeah, the Mashal, Mashal Labyrinth. It says, Vodim Mashlim Banu, Kimo, off watching the dresses like home. That's what it means. And they're damned and everybody steps on
the floor. I'm just going to add two things to the table. One thing is the halach. That is, that we mentioned at the three of the group, the different kind of a tree. Different kind of a tree. Three of a subject matter. Not a clear, kiss fate, a clear kiss fate paper. That's the key of the Christmas Kodesh and convert them into a verbal, that's the key of the key of a fear, the key of a subject matter, subject. We're right, the line of reason, slap the line of reason, slap the line of reason, there's a different kind of a key. And of course, there has to be a lot of representation. And a lot of representation is fact that we need back to things to us. That's why the person is in the right era, so you're not in back to things. If you're like the Rambam holds, there's a talent from the shop, or kinds of shop, or some sort of different fact. So what about the building on this? Why? Because where you're taking the questions, the Polish, and rendering the entity of Korea. You have to convert the entire Christian Kodesh into the entire Kodesh. You took the best to do that. But over here, it's a fear really of a subject matter. And since it's a fear of a subject matter, the subject matter is not an exact transposing of the Christian Kodesh into the Kodesh. It's just the Kodesh, certain types of certain events. So, Zav is only a medium of the only events. That's why we're not in bracket. So most people, of course, are saying that they're not important, right? That's the feeling that there's Mahana in this era. There is Mahana in the same tradition of Mahana. There is Mahana. According to the Rambam, it's Mahana because they prepare you to read by Pei Yuayyad. But it's really for our Pei Yuayyad. So, it's not Mahana or less Mahana. It's a different kind of a phenomenon. Qualitative of the country. Why is it that it's written really about Pei Yuayyad? It's because the Rambam holds that if you got the Kisvei Kodesh, even though it's also literal Shalom and Atzal, that's separate issue. But if you actually did a good job of creating an entity of Kisvei Kodesh about that, so we ate it. That's all. And, but over here, since the nature of the Kriya is, well, it's a Kriya Shapirsim, of a subject matter, so it must be being with it. This has nothing to do with Lachsi Kriya Shapirsim. The Kriya Shapirsim is free of a subject matter, but the subject matter has to be read in a way that leads to the Shimonisa. So you must have a Chapter Shemagilla. You don't have a Chapter Shemagilla, there's no Geras there, you know, lacks in the character of the Kriya. The other point I wanted to mention just as this point along the way, system of what the Ksav is. I don't know what the correct question of the Torah is. Everything depends on the bottom of the Torah. The Torah says like that. That's why the new one is the same. The Torah says that. See the early Torah writing. The early Torah that is really the one thing that the ultimate